You can take what you want and you can give what you please because we trust you. You are so good. But in this room tonight, Holy Spirit, would you come and renew the strength of your people? Those who are hurting, those who are weary, those who have marriages that they're more just like transactional business partners, broken, those who have cancer, those who are sick, God, those who are just depressed and discouraged, Lord, would you please, would you renew their strength? So we're gonna sing that tag, Holy Spirit, come and renew our strength. And I believe that as we do that, if we truly, truly open our hands wide and we just say, God, whatever you want, we trust you, we put our eyes on you, when we do that, he will come and renew our strength. He will encourage us. He will take the broken things and he will make them beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh, we believe in Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come renew all of my strength. Make that your cry tonight. Holy Spirit, come renew all of my strength. Yeah, singing out, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come in here. What would you do, Lord? Holy Spirit, come renew all of my. Take this right. Come on. listen, Holy Spirit.
Check, check.
Cadence, you want to turn this on really quick? I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength.
Most of us know the words. Let's sing it with her. Can we do the... Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Grace, so much. I would like you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 51, and then we'll be going to Psalm 32 right after that. I do appreciate the honor of standing behind this pulpit. I don't take it for granted. I'm very appreciative of it. I appreciate the faith and the confidence our pastors have in allowing me to do this. And I got my grandkids here today, and I'm so excited, and my daughter's here, and that's wonderful, but it made me think about a grandpa who brought his grandson to church one morning, and the grandson looked up on the wall, and there was a picture of all these people in uniform, and so he asked grandpa, he said, "Grandpa, what are all those pictures of those people for?" He said, "Well, son, those are people who died in the service." He said, "Oh, was it the 8 o'clock service or the 10:30 service?" So we're right back to "Ye are lively stones." Now, some of us come to church, we sit like a bump on a pickle. But this is a time to shake yourself. Yeah, come alive in Jesus. Jesus is going to do a mighty work here today. Jesus is going to save someone in here this morning. You came to be touched. He's going to touch you. Psalm 51, verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of my tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." Verse 11. "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Psalm 32, verse 1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Verse 5. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." You may be seated. Jesus, we covet your anointing. The song I asked Grace to sing this morning has actually been rolling over in my heart. In fact, I think I spoke about it with Bruce a number of months ago, actually. And this song was written by a gentleman by the name of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was born in 1828, and he became a fairly successful man in his day, and he became a real estate investor. He became an attorney, and it was fairly well off. And around about 1870, his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. A year later, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire struck, and it wiped out most of his real estate holdings, wiped out his financial nest egg, and it was quite the tragedy. They had to completely readjust their life. Horatio Spafford thinking it might be a good idea to send his family on a vacation, put them aboard a ship, his wife and his four daughters. And they had struck out for England. Now, they got a portion of the way to England, and their ship had a terrible, tragic accident. And it so happened that though Horatio Spafford's wife lived, all four of his daughters perished in this accident. Now, when his wife finally got to England, she sent a telegram to her husband that just said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" So, of course, because he stayed back to take care of some business, and then he got on board a ship himself then and said, I'll meet up with her. And he jumped on board a ship. And as he got a portion of the way to England himself, the captain of the ship called him forward. And he put his hands on the map and he said to this gentleman, he said, "We are right now crossing the very place where your daughters were killed, in case you want to do something in memoriam." Horatio Spafford excused himself, went right back to his cabin, it said. And in his cabin is where he began to write those words, "It is well with my soul." He said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know it is well with my soul." I would tell you this morning that there are going to be storms for you to face. As our young people are going back to school, there's going to be some troubling days. There's going to be some trying days, I can assure you. And there will be tragedies in our life. But I am also here to proclaim that in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your depression, you can find a loving God, an eternal God that will love you through it all. And you will be able to stand and proclaim, "It is well. It is well with my soul." I have people come to me, I have through the years, and I'm sure most of us have as well, say, "What is this world coming to?" Right? What is this world coming to? And I thought this morning of Brother Bob, who's our supreme elder here this morning, all the changes he must have seen transpire from when he was a young person. I don't know, did you have horse and buggies when you were a kid? Just curious. Went from that to going to outer space to landing on the moon. I can't imagine the things he's seen, the changes that have taken place. And so people say, what's this world coming to? I have a hard time answering, because really, as Christians, it's coming to what it's always been coming to. That's the rapture of the church. This world is coming to a conclusion very quickly as we see sin running rampant. And I've been told we shouldn't preach about something they call political. But this woke generation, that's not political, it's spiritual. I mean to tell you, when we got people who are male, born with male genitalia, proclaiming to be women, we got problems on our hand. And it's time for the church to confront the sin that is so oppressive. It is well within my soul, regardless of what tragedy we go through. Our time's no different than it was in the days of Noah. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were committing adultery. They were having swinging parties. Men sharing their wives with other men. Women sharing their husbands with other women. It was a terrible thing. But nevertheless, somebody was saved in the midst of it. And this piece I'm talking about is exclusive to Christians, absolutely. Eternal peace requires an eternal God. For you to know this peace, for you to know this joy, for you to know this satisfaction in your heart, you need to know Jesus. 1 John 5:13 said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord, on the name of the Son of God, that ye may have eternal that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let me tell you, there's no plan B this morning. It is what it is. You must believe in the name of the Son of God. Before you leave here today, you want to be saved. You must believe. I don't have a plan C. There is no plan D. It is this plan. Believe in the name of the Son. Believe in our eternal God. I'm going to shift gears for just a minute. I mean, really shift gears. I've got two statements I want to make, and they may appear to be hard statements. And at first, they don't really seem to go together, but they really do. My first statement is, you are more of a sinner than you have ever admitted or realized. Now, I know that won't make me a whole lot of friends making that statement. So, you are a greater sinner than you've ever admitted. You're a greater sinner than you've ever realized. The second truth is this. You have never been more loved than you are right now. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I read to you first from the book of Psalms, chapter 51. And let me just set a stage quick. And, you know, I forgot to look at my watch when I started. So can we just make believe I'm starting now? I'm sorry. It takes me 10 minutes just to say my name. So as Psalm 51, I just want to, help you remember King David's life. You remember when he, just prior to him going against Goliath, which is the thing we all know him so well for, he made this proclamation. He said, I'll go against him. They said, but you're too small. You don't have the skill. You don't have the qualities. But he said, you know, there was a time when I was tending sheep that a lion came to steal my sheep. And I killed him, and a bear came to steal my sheep, and I killed him. And so this David, this young boy, about 17 years old or so, went against this giant, slung a rock, hit him between the eyes, and killed Goliath. Understand how he must have felt as he's living his life, knowing that God had empowered him to kill a lion, a bear, and a giant. Now in Psalm 51, suddenly we find him in a state of desperation. You see, the time had come when the kings had led their armies out to battle. That was a pretty normal thing to do. But for some reason, though David normally would have led his army to battle, he didn't this day. This day he stayed home. And I decided he'd plug his computer in and watch a little pornography. Yes. Another, he looked out over his own balcony into the neighbor's balcony, and that's where he saw Bathsheba bathing herself. He got all excited about it and let his mind just run wild. And before you know it, he sent for her. She came to him. He had sex with her. And I know some of you say, oh, my God. Preacher, we have kids here. Let me tell you, our kids read worse than this on the bathroom walls. It's just the Bible. And so he had relations with her. She became pregnant. I'm hurrying up the story, but he had her husband then summoned to come back so that he would sleep with her, and then he would be in the free and clear and say, well, the husband is actually the father of this child, and no one's ever going to know. He thought he successfully hid his sin. But it didn't work that way because Joab, the husband of Bathsheba, had more integrity than David did at that time. And that husband said, I can't go home to my wife. I can't have sex with my wife. My brothers are fighting in a grievous battle right now. How can I rest on my laurels? David was upset to say the least, and so he called Joab, the leader of his army. He said, you know what? He said, put Uriah on the front line of the battle, withdraw from him so that he will be killed. And then I've completely and totally hid my sin. Now, Nathan came to David and preached conviction, and David fell under the grievous spirit of conviction as Nathan said, you're the man, David. You're committing sin and you're trying to cover the sin. David, in desperation, then penned Psalm 51. This is David's repentant prayer. The entire chapter, Psalm 51. Can you hear the desperation in his voice? take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, God, what have I done? God, you used me so greatly. I killed lions and bears. I killed a giant. And look at me now. I just can't stand the weight of the guilt I'm carrying around. Father, please, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I remember a young lady some years ago had come to an altar where I was preaching, and as she began to sigh great, great heaving sobs, I saw a vision. It was startling. I saw her climbing over the front seat of an automobile to the back seat. She was with her boyfriend. And so I went to her and I prayed with her and I said, you've given up your virginity. And she just sobbed so relentlessly because she felt so lost. She felt like she was beyond the reach of God. She felt that same desperation that David was feeling. What am I going to do now, God? Please don't take your Spirit from me. I've had people say, oh, preacher, you don't even believe in holiness if you believe someone like that can be forgiven. I do. I understand holiness. I understand Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I understand Hebrews 11, 6, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And this girl I'm praying with is feeling like God's pulling his Spirit from her because of this great sin she committed. But I was happy to pray with her and tell her, all it takes is, I'm sorry. When you say I'm sorry, Jesus says, I forgive. You come here this morning and you are stewing in depression. You're drowning in a slough of despondent despair. You're thinking, God, what do I do now? You bless me so much and I just threw it away on one moment of what I thought would bring me happiness. And it brought me nothing but a feeling of separation from you, Jesus. Isaiah 53, 5 said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the message for you, young and old alike. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Romans 5 and 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'm here to tell you, in the midst of your guilt, and guilt, I might just institute here, is not a God-given feeling. If you feel guilt, it didn't come from God. God doesn't make people feel guilty. God convicts you of your sin, and you'll feel a deep-rooted conviction, like, oh, I've sinned against God. But guilt comes from hell. It's a demonic influence, because you can't get out from under guilt. How many times have people repented and get up and they still feel guilty? And you come back to the altar and drape yourself like wilted lettuce and say, God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And all along God's saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. You don't have to repent again. You've already repented. The blood has already been shed. So I do believe in holiness, but I believe in the mercy and the grace of God. John 3:16, for God so, remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. John 10:10, I love it. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, what? And that they might have it more abundantly. I received a phone call many years ago. I was pastoring a church in Bossier City, Louisiana. And this particular, I've received a lot of phone calls, received a lot of letters through the years, letters of desperation, phone calls of desperation. This one stood out to me and still does today. I'll call this woman by the name of Diana. I don't know why she called me. She didn't know why she called me. We had never met. I had never heard of her. She had never heard of me. She didn't know what church I pastored. Somehow she got my number and she called. I took that call, and I remember her, again, a gasping sob. She was so broken, just feeling this overwhelming sense of depression, financial problems, marital problems. Everything was stacking up, and she couldn't take the pressure anymore. She made a statement that really rocked me and still does. She said, "Preacher, I hurt so bad that my very bones ache." So the desperation that David felt, the desperation that many of us have felt, can be answered in Psalm chapter 32. So Psalm 32 is actually written after Psalm 51. That's right. Psalm 51, most of us know by heart, most of it. God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. But in Psalm 32, we find the answer to this prayer. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is a man whose sins and iniquities are not imputed unto him. Can you imagine the release David felt when he realized, I've been forgiven of my sins. Let's stand. Let's stand this morning. I really preached long, didn't I? Didn't seem long up here, but it was long. Let's come on up, Grace. Let's do that again. If you're here this morning and you felt desperation, you felt sadness beyond your ability to even put into words, please listen to the words of the song. Please understand, God's here for you. You can leave this service today and say, it is well, it is well, it is well within my soul. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the sins I've committed. And I thought I loved God, but I just keep getting further and further away from God. Then I want you to come to this altar this morning. Whether you're a member of this church or no, remember there's no plan B. You must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come on down this morning. If you're not right with God, you feel unsettled, don't worry about what other people are going to think. Don't worry about what other people are going to say. It's irrelevant. You're coming to Jesus, and Jesus has his arms open wide for you this morning. You would bow your heads, maybe close your eyes. You feel God has touched you in a special way this morning. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to spot you out. I won't embarrass you. Just raise your hand and say, you know, preacher, the word found a lodging place in my heart. I've never really fully given myself to Jesus. I attend church on a regular basis, but I know I'm not a Christian because I don't live it. I don't breathe it. I don't walk in the Spirit. I'm still what I've always been, just a sinner. And this morning I invite you to come and become a sinner saved by grace. We've all been there. God is not here to embarrass you. He's here to save you. So as this church is praying right now and I see hands raised, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. All is well. Come on. You're going to be able to sing this like you've never sang it before. Step out from where you are. If your hand was raised, Step out. Go on. If you deny me, he said, before men, I'm going to deny you before your Father. But if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. In Matthew 10, that is. So come on, acknowledge Jesus before men, before this church. Step out from where you are. No one's watching you. Come on down the aisle and give your life to Jesus. If you're not sure if you've ever done this, then come on down. You're going to leave here with a satisfaction and a deep peace in your heart. Anyone willing to come this morning and give your heart to Jesus? You've heard other altar calls, but this one is special because you know God's talking to you. Don't let this moment pass. I beg of you, don't let this time pass. You're here for a reason and a purpose. You didn't know it when you came, but now you know it. You know God touched you in your heart. And you know you need to make a proclamation that Jesus is your Savior and you accept the work he did on the cross. So come on down right now. The rest of the church has their eyes closed. They're praying for you. Come on. So I'll sing it, Grace, yes.
Oh, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
I'll pray with you. I'll meet you right down here. Come on. Step out and come to Jesus.
Put your hand in your heart this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go in his grace today.